Amen. Thank you guys so much for leading us in worship. That was so encouraging. Welcome to Summer Shoreline. If we have never met before, my name is Jermaine Harrison, and I am so glad that you decided to spend one of your summer nights here worshiping with other believers and with other friends and learning from God's Word. I want to invite you to grab your Bible, grab your journal, do your best to remove the distractions that can easily catch your attention in the middle of the opportunity we have to learn from God and know more of who He is. All right, to set up where we're going, we are continuing our summer series as we've been walking through the book of Philippians. And today, we're going to be spending our time in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 21. And I'm so excited to share with you how the Lord has encouraged me and challenged me from those verses. And to set up where we're going, I want to start off by asking you guys a question. How many of you guys have been to the dentist in the last 12 months for your regular like checkup or cleaning, checking in on your teeth? Yes, yes, good, good. The majority of you in the room, that's a good thing. Well, up until 2017, I believed that going to the dentist was a waste of time and a waste of money. And because I had that belief, I had not gone to the dentist from age 18 to age 30. And maybe even before that, I was like, this is pointless. What's the point of doing this when I can just brush my teeth at home, maybe floss sometimes, and I'm going to be okay? Going to the dentist is a waste of time and a waste of money. In fact, I think I may have went to the dentist one time in those 12 years, and it was because a friend of mine was going through dental school. And when you're going through dental school, you ask your friends to come so you can clean their teeth and get practice in front of your professor. So I did that one time. But I was doing the bare minimum, brushing my teeth, maybe sometimes flossing, probably most of the times, not really. Until I started to experience some side effects, if you will. My teeth were really sensitive. Sometimes when I would drink water or different drinks, like different ones of my teeth would hurt really bad. And preparing you, this is probably going to be a little bit gross, but for a long extended period of time, most nights as I was brushing my teeth right before I was going to bed and, you know, spit the foam out into the sink, it was red because my gums were bleeding. Almost every single night. I know it's really gross. And you know what I would think in those moments? It's fine. I'm fine. Nothing's really wrong. I'm all good. And so it wasn't until August of 2017, after 12 years of a hiatus from the dentist, that I finally made the decision to go back to the dentist. Anyone want to guess why I decided to go back to the dentist? Any guesses? Huh? A tooth fell out. No, all wrong. Here's the answer. You ready? I got a girlfriend. And I started telling her, someone over there is excited about that, who's not my wife. And I told her about my experiences, and she was like, you need to go to the dentist. So eventually I listened to her, and in October of 2017, I went to the dentist for the first time in maybe 12 years. And here's some pictures of text messages between myself and my then girlfriend and now wife. She was excited about the day I was going to go to the dentist, and she was asking how it went. And I said, honestly, it was one of the most painful experiences of my life. I'm not kidding. I was on the dentist's, you know, like bench or whatever you want to call it, for at least 2 hours. And there was cleaning and scraping and scrubbing and lots of bleeding. I mean, it was horrible. She asked me on the second one, how long was she cleaning your teeth? And I said, 2 awful hours. Guys, I don't know how else to explain it to you. It was the most painful headache I think I ever had after this 2-hour teeth cleaning. I felt like my head was going to explode. And then at the end of the cleaning, the dental hygienist was like, you got to come back in a month, because we've only even scratched the surface of the problems with your teeth. And so you need to come back and get more care and ongoing assistance. And so what I learned through that experience, right, was that for 12 years or so, I thought I was fine. I thought nothing was wrong. I thought I was fully healthy, and I thought that the bare minimum was going to suffice, but it didn't. And the reason I start with that story is I think that in our relationship with the Lord, sometimes we act like I did when it came to my teeth. Like I was unhealthy and ignoring it, even though there are signs that something was wrong. I think that there might be, just maybe, someone in this room or someone listening who is spiritually unhealthy and is ignoring it. And just so we're all on the same page of what I mean by spiritual unhealth, here's what I mean. Being spiritually unhealthy is having no appetite for God, for the things of God, to know Him, to follow Him, to obey His word. To be spiritually unhealthy is to have no appetite for God and to have no evidence of change and transformation in your life. Guys, if you truly have a genuine relationship with Jesus, it will change you. It has to change you. That's just naturally and normally what would happen. And so if someone is spiritually unhealthy, it's because they have no appetite for God and they have no evidence of transformation in their life. Maybe, like me, you're doing the bare minimum in your faith journey. You go to church sometimes, and when you go to church, sometimes you listen. Sometimes you read your Bible, you know, if it works out in your schedule and you're not too busy with other things. And generally, you're a good moral person. And so you're doing the bare minimum, and you think that you're healthy, and you think that you're good. Or like me, I experienced the warning signs that something was wrong and that I was unhealthy. And maybe you are experiencing some of those warning signs in your life right now as you're sitting in this room. Maybe you're just always stressed or always anxious about something that's going on in your life. Maybe it's the relationships that you have in your life and they're just not the way you want them to be. Maybe you went to camp a couple of weeks ago because you thought, man, this is going to be such a great experience. I'm going to reconnect with the Lord and I'm going to be on fire for Jesus. And you came back home and nothing changed. Or maybe you were hyped for a couple of days and it's since then it's faded away. Maybe you've done something that you're afraid of telling anyone, of them even knowing that that's true about you. Maybe you just feel like you're better than the bad kids in your friend group or in your school. And at the root of all of these issues is the reality that you just might be spiritually unhealthy. Or at the very least, your spiritual life needs some attention. And so just like I needed a nudge from my then girlfriend to take action, to figure out what was going on and get healthy, maybe someone in this room needs this nudge from God's word to get spiritually healthy. And so I want to share with you for the rest of our time tonight from Philippians chapter 3, 5 steps to getting and staying spiritually healthy. If you want to get spiritually healthy, if you feel like that's just not true about you right now, this message is for you. If you feel like, hey, I feel like I'm at a good place with the Lord and I'm following Him and yielding to His Spirit, this message is still for you because it's not just a one-time decision to become someone that's spiritually healthy. It's a decision you make every single day. And so the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3 is going to share with us 5 steps to getting and staying spiritually healthy. So let me read Philippians chapter 3. Verses 12 through 14 and verses 17 through 21. And then we'll look at these 5 steps that he gives us to get and stay spiritually healthy. Philippians 3, verse 12. It says this, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own." What's he talking about? In verse 10, Paul says that the goal of his life is that I want to know Jesus. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to experience what he experienced in his sufferings, and I want to be resurrected with him one day. He is talking about this idea of knowing God fully and completely. That's what he's looking forward to. And he's saying, I haven't got there yet completely. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, I forget what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And then we jump down to verse 17. He says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. So we're looking at the five steps that you can take or you should take if you want to get or stay spiritually healthy. The first step that the Apostle Paul gives us is to humbly acknowledge that you have a long way to go. If you want to get or stay spiritually healthy, humbly acknowledge that you have a long way to go. Remember what he said in verse 12 of chapter 3? He said, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. In other words, the Apostle Paul himself is acknowledging, hey, I haven't become sinless and I haven't become perfect. I am still on this journey of life transformation. He humbly acknowledged that he had a long way to go. And if you want to get and stay spiritually healthy, the same practice should inform your life. Because the moment that you get prideful or self-righteous or start to compare yourselves and your spiritual health to the spiritual health of other people is the moment you start to become spiritually unhealthy. If you think you're good or you think that God is good with you just because you don't do bad stuff, because you don't drink or do drugs or attend wild parties, you're just beginning to scratch the surface of what it means to follow Jesus. You're not good. You have a long way to go. If you think that you're good just because you behave well, you're missing the point. You're only scratching the surface of what a true, meaningful relationship with God looks like. It would be almost like, imagine LeBron James when he was in seventh grade and he made the JV basketball team at whatever school he was going to. And he was like, this is it. I've made it. I'm at the crowning achievement of my career. I'm done. I'm retiring from basketball right now. He would have missed out on his high school career and his NBA career with so many accomplishments and championships and all of these things if he had felt like he had arrived when he was in seventh grade. When you hear that analogy or illustration, you go, that doesn't even make sense. And I go, exactly. But that's what we do. We think, we are so prone to think, man, I'm good. Just because all of these things externally are under control, then I'm good. When I was in late in high school and early years in college, something that was true about me was that I had a temper. And when I would get annoyed, when I would get angry, I would lash out. I would say what I wanted. I would yell at people. I would call them names. I would even start fights. Like, all of those things were true about me, unfortunately. Because I let my anger and my frustration control me. But by God's grace, over the years, through the kindness and work of the Spirit in my life, I can honestly say that that's not true of me anymore. I don't lash out at people. I'm not unkind with my words generally. I have grown by God's work in my life. But guess what? I still get frustrated. I still get annoyed. I still get angry. But the interesting thing is you can't see it anymore. Like, I don't lash out, but that doesn't mean that I'm not angry. And so just because it's not present on the outside doesn't mean that there isn't room to grow in rooting out that sin or that bad habit that might be in your life. Just because you went to the dentist one time and got your teeth clean doesn't mean you don't need to go to the dentist anymore, right? I still go to the dentist every 6 months. It's way less than 2 hours and it's not painful anymore, but I still go. And in the same way, you and I are to humbly acknowledge that we have a long way to go. Here's the second step. If you want to get or stay spiritually healthy, the second step you should take based on the Apostle Paul's advice is to laser focus on knowing Jesus more every day. Laser focus on knowing Jesus more every day. And I get this from verses 12 through 14. Look at what he says. But I press on to make it my own. To make what my own? A more deep and abiding knowledge of Christ. Because Christ has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so what we see here is the Apostle Paul saying, my greatest focus, my singular focus, the thing that I'm lasered in on every single day, the most important thing to me is to know Christ. So you should ask the question, why was Paul so committed to knowing Jesus? Why was that so important to him? That it was his life's singular focus where he placed so much of his attention every single day. Why was Paul so committed to knowing Jesus? Answer, because a clearer picture of Jesus leads to wonder and worship. He made his life's aim and goal to know Jesus more and more in increasing measure every single day because he knew something that's true. The clearer the picture that you get of who God is, of his character and his nature, what will happen in your life is that you will step back and go, whoa, this God is incredible. He is holy. He is righteous. He is just. He is good. And he loves me and he cares for me. Our team that's going to the Dominican Republic this coming Saturday for a week, we are reading this book called The Knowledge of the Holy. And if you've never heard of this book, I highly recommend that you put it on your reading list because this book just basically highlights and talks about the different character traits of God, talks about his omniscience, his wisdom, his immutability, which was one that I read this morning. God being immutable means that God doesn't change. Isn't it incredible that God is never in a bad mood? That God isn't like, okay, I'm annoyed at you now. I liked you better yesterday when you didn't do this thing. God never changes in his love and devotion and commitment to you. He is immutable. He does not change. Guys, that is amazing news. Now, when you understand more and more of who God is, it should lead you towards wonder and worship. It should lead you to reflect on your own heart and life and go, man, how am I doing at surrendering my life to God every single day? How am I doing at seeking to know him and understanding him more? It should lead you to wonder and worship. And that worship could look like so many things. It may look like repentance as you consider the majesty and power and holiness and love and care of God. You might go, man, I have a long way to go. And I need to be reminded of the gospel, that God loved me so much that even when I was running from him, he sent his son Jesus to live, to die, and to raise again from the dead so that you and I can have a reconciled relationship with God. It should lead you to repentance. It should lead you to joy. It should lead you to hope. It should lead you to more meaning and purpose in your life. Because as you get a bigger view of who God is, you understand more of your purpose as his son or his daughter who is meant to be his image bearer here on this earth to show a lost, lonely, and broken world what God is like and the relationship that he has in store for those that trust in him. So Paul was so committed to knowing Jesus because a clearer picture of Jesus leads to wonder and worship. And you should be as committed to knowing who he is every single day. A couple of other segments of this, these few verses I want to highlight. In verse 13. He talks about this idea of forgetting what lies behind as he looks towards knowing God fully and more every single day. He says, forgetting what lies behind. What does the Apostle Paul mean? He's not saying, hey, don't remember your past or ignore it or leave it in the past. Don't worry about it. What he's actually saying is that sometimes our past distracts us from the opportunity that we have in the present. Let me give you some examples. Maybe you've said this or thought this before. Oh, I did a quiet time a couple of days ago. I'm still good, right? Oh, I had a great spiritual experience at camp or at D-Town or in that conversation with my friends as we talked about God. And that was months ago, but I'm still okay. And so we let what's behind prevent us from experiencing more of who God is in the present, right? Maybe it's, man, I messed up in the past, and there's just no way that God would welcome me in. Maybe he's still mad at me. Maybe those are thoughts that have come through your mind, and the Apostle Paul is trying to encourage you and me. Hey, leave those things in the past. In other words, don't let those victories or defeats in the past define your current desire and relationship with God as you seek to know him more and more every day. He says, forget those things that are behind. Don't let them have power over you. Another thing that he says in the second half of verse 13 is he strains forward to what lies ahead. So in that idea of straining, what do you get? What do you understand? That it's not easy, right? It's not just such a cakewalk to follow God and to know God. It takes work. There's opposition. Sin and Satan and the world is trying to tell you, don't know God. Don't seek him. Don't pursue him. Do your own thing. But Paul is reminding us that it takes energy. It takes commitment. It takes effort to know God and be committed to it. And so a laser focus on knowing Jesus doesn't come easily or naturally, but it's possible, you guys. It's possible to know Jesus. And it's essential if you want to get or stay spiritually healthy. The last three steps are going to go a little bit quicker, but I really do think that this is the centerpiece of Paul's point. If you want to stay spiritually healthy, if you want to get spiritually healthy, you need to be laser focused on knowing God every day. That should be your focus and your priority in life. Here's a third step that he gives to stay or get spiritually healthy. It's to follow good examples. Follow good examples. And we see this displayed in verse 17 of Philippians chapter 3. He says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example that you have in us. And so Paul is saying to the Christians that he's writing this letter to, look at my life, follow my example. And not just my example, but there are other people too who are faithfully walking with Jesus and seeking to know him more and more every single day. You should look at their lives and you should follow their example. And to that I say that examples worth following are out there in your lives. Examples worth following are out there in your lives. It could be your parents who are following Jesus and who are seeking to know him more and more every day. Follow them. It could be your small group leaders if you're in a small group here at Watermark and they are following Jesus and seeking to know him more and more every day. Follow them. It could be your peers, people sitting in this room that you are respect their faith and their journey and commitment to knowing and following Jesus. Follow them. By God's grace, I hope that us as a Shoreline team are examples that you look to follow our good example. But here's a couple other things to remind you of along with this truth that examples worth following are out there. Expect good examples to mess up. The only perfect example is Jesus. And so any other good example that is worthy of following, you should follow them, but follow them soberly, like with that understanding that we still live in a broken world and we have a long way to go, right? And so understanding that will really help you as you consider following good examples. Step number four, if you want to get or stay spiritually healthy, resist bad examples. So step three was follow good examples, seek them out, follow them, look at the way they live their lives and model your life after theirs. Step four is to resist bad examples. And we see that in verses 18 and 19. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. With minds set on earthly things. Here's the reality. Bad examples are easy to find. You could open your phone right now, go to any social media that's on your phone, and you could find a bad example. You could go on the internet and find a bad example in under a second. They're so easy to find. And so I'm glad that the Lord in his sovereignty included these verses to give us a description of what bad examples look like. Okay, so let's look and spend our time on verse number 19. So we'll come back to that first phrase that their end is destruction. But here are the characteristics of someone who is a bad example that you should resist. The first characteristic is that their God is their belly. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that they just love eating really good food and overeating? I mean, maybe. But honestly, what it means is that their God, the thing that drives them, is their appetite. In other words, what feels good? I'm going to do it. What feels pleasurable to me? That's what I'm going to do. Their feelings, their emotions, their desire for pleasure, that's the leader in their life. And so they're satisfied with lesser things. And so their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame. They glory in their shame. I can give you multiple examples in our world, in our culture, right now, where there are things that are shameful, that if you spend 2 minutes in God's word, you would see that that's not the way it's supposed to be. But our world celebrates it, legalizes it, normalizes it, and promotes it at every single turn. The Bible told us about this, you know, thousands of years ago when this was written, guys, that those who are bad examples, they celebrate and highlight and promote that which should bring them shame. And then the last characteristic is that they, with minds set on earthly things. And I think it's so interesting that he puts this characteristic right here after he has just talked about that the ultimate goal of his life, his main priority every single day is to know Christ, is to understand him more fully and to allow the worship and wonder to inform and influence his life. But he's saying that those who are bad examples, the focus of their life is not God. The singular focus of their life is everything apart from God. So that's what a bad example is defined by. And maybe as you look at that verse and you see those descriptions, you go, man, that's me. My appetite, what I want to do, I just do it. Or I celebrate and highlight things that I know aren't right, aren't good, are sinful. Or maybe the singular focus of my mind every single day isn't to know God, but is to do my own thing. Maybe that's what's coming to your mind right now. Or maybe you go, this describes the people that I surround myself with. I've heard it said before that every single one of us is the average of the five people that we spend the most time with. And so, are the people that you spend time with, is this description something that marks their life? If so, I would encourage you that a change in your friend groups or the people you spend the most time with is necessary. Because if you want to stay or get spiritually healthy, right, you need to remove yourself from those situations and resist bad examples. Why? Because of the first phrase in verse 19. He says, their God is their belly, they glory in their shame, and their mind is set on earthly things. And here's the end of people that this marks their life. Their end is destruction. As clearly and as gently as I can say, people who live for their own desires, who choose not to know God or to seek him, their end is destruction. Because that's how they've lived their entire life. They've lived their entire life saying, I don't need God. I don't want God. I want my own pleasure, my own desires. I want to do my own thing. And one day God just says, okay. And their end is destruction, eternally separated from him. But man, there's good news and there is hope. As long as there's life, there's hope. So if you are a person who is a bad example right now, you can place your faith and trust in Jesus and commit yourself to knowing God every single day and even becoming a good example. So if you want to stay or get spiritually healthy, humbly acknowledge that you have a long way to go. Laser focus on knowing Jesus more every day. Follow good examples and resist bad examples. And finally, the fifth step that Paul gives us in Philippians chapter 3 is this, is to rest in how the story ends. Take a breath and rest in how the story ends. And that's one of the most powerful things that you can do if you want to get or stay spiritually healthy. Where do I get this idea of rest in how the story ends? Look again at verses 20 and 21. He says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. So on the heels of talking about people who are destined for destruction because their God is their belly and they are glorifying shameful things and their mind is focused on the things of this earth, he says, but you're different. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you've placed your faith and trust in him, your citizenship is in a different place than theirs. This next week, when our team goes to the Dominican Republic and we come back the following Saturday, here's what's going to happen. We're going to come to customs and all 44 of the other people are going to go in one line and I'm going to go to a different line. It's a dark line. It's a really long line where the TSA agents are even meaner and don't care. And it's the immigrant line. Everyone else is a citizen of the United States of America. Except for me, I'm a Jamaican citizen, or I still have a Jamaican passport. And so as such, I don't experience some of the blessings and benefits of being a citizen of the United States. Like truly, if someone who is a citizen of the United States is in trouble, in danger, in a foreign country or foreign land, or is experiencing something that they need rescue from, this country, because you are a citizen, cares deeply about helping you and bringing you out of that situation. If it was me, they're like, good luck, bro. And so that's why I'm in the opposite line. And so I say that because Paul says that if you're a follower of Jesus, your citizenship is in heaven. You get to experience the blessings and benefits of being a son or daughter of God. You get to experience the fullness of joy that is available to you in the presence of God. You get to experience his peace. You get to have his hope, the perspective in the midst of the challenges and struggles that you might experience. There are so many blessings that are readily available to you if you're a follower of Jesus, you're a citizen of heaven. And so no matter what you might be going through in this life, you can rest because you know how the story ends. You know that one day you will be with Jesus and there'll be no more sickness, no more pain, no more tears, no more sin, and everything will be made new. That truth and that reality should give you peace and allow you to rest in how the story ends. In fact, he says, we await Jesus from heaven, where our citizenship is, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. And so one day, those of us who are followers of Jesus, we're going to be just like Jesus. As adopted sons and daughters of God, we will get his blessings. We will get his benefits. All of those things are available to us because we've placed our faith and trust in Jesus. And one day, we'll get to know God and experience God and worship God and wonder at God without any sin to obstruct us, without any pain or any other distraction causing us to not want to know him and experience him fully. One day it's going to happen. And so we can rest in how this story ends. And we can wait with hope. And so in summary, if you want to get or stay spiritually healthy, my advice, my encouragement from God's word is to commit to knowing Jesus more today. Regardless of what you did yesterday or what you did 5 years ago, today you can make the decision, I'm going to be spiritually healthy. And the way you do that is to commit to knowing Jesus more every day and knowing Jesus more today. And here's the thing, you know how to do this. If you've ever had a crush on someone, which is probably every person in this room, you know how to commit to knowing someone. Here's what you've done. If your crush was in your class at school, you've tried to sit next to them or near them in class. When you've gone on a field trip or whatever, you've tried to sit next to them on the bus. When you're at camp and you just happen to sit at the same lunch table with them, you know what to do. You get near the person that you like, right? And that, while it's a weird analogy to go to God, it's the same principle. If you want to get to know God, you get near him. And one of the best ways that you can get near to God is to pray, is to spend time in prayer. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you want to commit to knowing Jesus more today, start with prayer. Prayer is just talking to God. It's not that deep. It's not that complicated. Prayer is talking to God. Or maybe you just need to decide, you know what? I'm spiritually unhealthy. And I need to do regeneration for students. And maybe that's your point of application today. And sign up, right? And here's what else you do when you like someone, when you have a crush on them. You get to know them. You ask them questions. You follow them on whatever social media so you can learn their likes or their dislikes, their interests, their personality, all of those different things. You get to know them by spending time, like literally investigating their life, right, in person or from a distance. And in the same way, you can get to know God because he has given you this book, God's word, that describes so much of who he is, of his kindness and his goodness and his grace. And so if you want to get and stay spiritually healthy, commit to knowing Jesus more today. And you know how to do it. You really do. And so let me pray that every single one of us in this room will be someone who gets or stays spiritually healthy. God, we love you. And thank you for these students. And thank you for Philippians chapter 3 and the reminders that we got from the Apostle Paul. And thank you for the fact that you love us and you want to have a relationship with us. And God, I just pray truly for every person in this room, wherever they are in terms of their relationship with you, that they would make a choice today and every day to commit to knowing you more that day. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.